All right, welcome back, Tangy Talks, episode 14. Man, we're climbing in these episodes, Victor.
We're getting there.
To our goal, right? I don't know where the stat came from, but they always said if you get to 21 shows, you're in like the top 90% of podcasts because most fail after three episodes or five episodes. So
I like that stat. Maybe it's a motivational thing, but either way, I know we're getting to 21 and more. So yep. I'm excited to get there.
I like it. We're getting some traction online. People are downloading it. We're seeing some videos. We're getting people messaging us. I like it. Keep it going, people. You're getting us motivated to share the knowledge we see every day. But you're looking better. You're a little under the weather. You're looking better.
A little. Today. I had a little stomach Mother's Day weekend. I celebrated my mother too much. Caught a little stomach bug. I had a couple of days where I was a little under the weather, but now I'm back shaping. I'd say I'm 80, 90%, but like always, thank you, Steve, for caring so much, texting me every day to see how I was doing, making sure I was not anywhere.
I needed my partner not to die on me here. You know, I can't do what you do. Listen, viewers, if you're listening, sorry, come watch us on YouTube. Does he look ready for a sales call today? He's got a big sales meeting today for a beautiful house. So I think he looks good. All right, let us know here in the comments if he is. But we've had a lot going on. We're working on a new website, so we've been interviewing a lot of different web developers and things like that. It's been interesting to see because every web developer, they reached out to us, right? The power of LinkedIn, we put out, hey, we want to make a new website. They kind of pitched us all different ideas, all different techniques. What has caught your eye without naming things? What has caught your eye about stuff that we really like?
Yeah, I mean, it's really what's caught my eye is how a lot of companies are kind of stepping it up, right? You know, they're back when we started 2018, we had put what I thought and what I think is still is a really good website. We redesigned and redeveloped that website. We're ready to take it to the next level, and we're seeing other management companies and other companies stepping it up as well. So now just plugging in a website online doesn't really generate the leads and the possible business potential. So we would see it on our, we would discuss, you know, in 2018, we would get a lead coming in online, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 leads a week going in online, but more competition, you know, like we mentioned, more people stepping it up. Now, you know, we're seeing that kind of dwindle, and we're wanting to kind of step it up and get to the next level, right?
Yeah, I like seeing. What I've seen is when our website, I give us a C+. It was like an A back many years ago, but we pieced it together and as we were growing. But now our vision is changing.
Right.
I like seeing, you know, at the beginning, it was like, oh, you have two different websites because you didn't confuse people. Now it's kind of like one place for the booking of homes and selling of the properties and getting new clients on there. But I like some of these that are sleek, like feels like, I don't want to say like Amazon, because Amazon has its own look, but it's like a mix of like Airbnb does a good job on their website because they drive people and it shows things, and has activities. So we have activities, we have great homes, we have really cool things that we're doing. So I think it's going to be fun to show it in a new way. So absolutely. I'm excited to see.
Absolutely. And you know, for viewers, like we're brainstorming behind the scenes because our dilemma is always, you know, how do we get, investors or leads or people who want to list their property with us to have them manage? You know, how do we get them to not get confused by going into our website and, you know, having to decipher, are they a booking channel or are they a management company? And that's what we're brainstorming and trying to figure out ideas in the back end to make sure that what we do have and we redesign and we redevelop our website, it could be clear and people could come right in and see exactly what we do and what we're all about. And that's what our intentions are. So mixing the two, the booking site and the management site into one, I think it's going to take us to the next level. And we're seeing, you know, other management companies doing so as well.
I think so too. Cause like we do things premier, like our team is in great uniform when they're going out there. They got this beautiful new van cruising the streets with our wrapped logo and information. We're doing events that are at top places. And I think our website is now going to level up, but it's expensive. It's not a cheap thing. It's like sitting down and thinking, all right, is this several thousands of dollars going to return on investment? What will that be? So I think it will be a big win for us. I'm excited to see who we choose, what we're doing. So listeners, keep an eye out. You can see what we had before, and hopefully you'll see the after Maybe in a couple of weeks.
And if there's anybody who's gone through this, you know, growing, I call it a growing pain, has gone this through this, you know,
an evolution, Victor. We're evolving.
Evolution. There you go. Evolution. If they've gone through this evolution and have any tips, any advice, you know, share those with us, because we would love to learn more as well.
We would. I would love to see how we continue to grow. And keep adding properties. Like, we just added one in North Carolina. I'm excited about that one. You want to talk a little bit about the new property and, and how we got it? Explain how we got it, because I think it's
important for people. That one is coming on in June. It's actually coming from a different management company, where, you know, the owners expressed kind of a distress with the communication with the team and how long it was taking for things to get done, as far as like changing anything in the listings, even as far as being able to book their own listing, you know, to stay in their own property. They mentioned the story that they wanted to stay. They had the whole, you know, tickets purchased. The entire family was coming down to use their own property. For certain dates, they had sent the dates out to the company to block those dates out, and they never did, and they got a reservation and a booking through it. So, you know, those are like the things, and we've discussed in the podcast and in previous episodes how important it is for that owner experience, right? And being able to not only, you know, help them produce great revenue and great experience throughout the short-term rental experience with them, but also, you know, the ability to have the owner and ensuring that the owner's experience with your company and with what they need and what they require is also being met. So super important for us. And that's one of the stories of the reason why they're moving to a different company to us. But that property is going to come on June. So I'm super excited. It's called, we're going to name it the Red Fox, and you'll see why. So it's super cool, and I can't wait for everyone to see.
I love it. I'm excited for that one to come on. We've been adding more and more in different states, which I love seeing. I think our model is working pretty good. I think that could be a nice little future for us to focus on as well, because it's hard out there. Competition's tough. And I think that this could be a good way to, like, it's almost like franchising it, but not franchising it. It's like really helping owners of homes maximize what they're doing and give them great advice and be their eyes and ears.
I love it.
I like it. So if you're interested in that, let us know. We're happy to talk more about it. But we've got some interesting topics coming out. We talked a little bit about this last time on how Airbnb made a big announcement, but now they're really focusing on, yes, they have their icons and the cool experiences they're doing, but they're really doubling down on new tools and the profiles of the guests and making it more of a community. What are some things that you're seeing them doing? Are they focusing on quality more? Are they doing things really to push new business? Because that's what they've got to do. They got to grow.
Exactly. Yeah. No. And we're seeing that they're growing and they're doing just that, and they're refocusing. You know, what hosts have recently asked them of, and they've actually created new tools. And we got an email or a message not too long. I'm sure everyone else did that. They basically, the subject was, host, we heard what you were saying, and then they listed all the things that they changed. So you can see that they're really doing a strong push. And what you're talking about specifically here, and the icons and the experiences. So it's really interesting to see, and I can't wait to see more and more things coming out.
Yeah.
Have you seen something that you like?
Yeah, I like that they're really focusing on quality. They're making it hard. Like, the standards are tough.
Oh, yeah.
You know? We've talked to some people that didn't perform very well, and they got their property delisted, right? So that's correct. The other part. You got to be ready. Like, you invest all this money and you have a couple of bad reviews in a row, you get your property taken down, and that can be very scary. And that's where people talk about, like, building your own business and direct booking. But that's hard to do as well, when a lot of people think it's like booking an Uber, right? I don't say I'm taking a Lyft or a black car rental or whatever else is. I'm getting an Uber where I'm going. Exactly. So people go to Airbnb first, look around. A lot of people then become our clients after they stay with us. But it's a little scary where your whole business, depending on one company, like to diversify. Now we've got multiple platforms that we're on.
I think we're at,
you know, we're very choosy of the ones we go on, because there's some that scam and are tough for the owners. So the ones that we choose, I don't want to give our whole secret sauce out here, but we have a lot of good ones. We'll give our top three, which is like Airbnb, Booking, VRBO, that everybody knows. But then there's a couple others in there that are performing well. Like, I start seeing a lot of bookings come through. So
yeah. And even with that, Steve, we see year in and year out, especially this year specifically, that 60% is coming from Airbnb. So imagine you know, because of your performance or your, you know, your negative reviews, 60% of possible revenues wiped out. So it's a difficult, difficult position to be in. So that's why we keep, you know, on this podcast just saying the experience of the guest, looking at your quality, looking at the things and everything that you're providing to the guest, because it's important. It's important. And the guests know it. The guests know it too.
Yeah, I think it's true. And for us too, it's, you know, Miami doesn't really have a slow season anymore. It's like there's a high end and maybe like a little bit less.
Right.
But we're focusing on that quality. Like we talk with the property owners and say, hey, we did a great first quarter. We crushed it. We made a lot of money, but we got to take care of the property. We got to reinvest some of that money in painting and maintenance, get a new couch that has been used for 3 years, right? It's like all these things that we have to do.
What do you always say, Steve? I know you gave me this tip once from hotel about, you know, having reserves. It's like a percentage of reserve.
Yeah, look, I always like to have 5%. So I tell the owners of properties, the revenue we're making, let's put 5% aside of that money to reinvest back in the property.
I love it.
And in some places, it should be more. But at the very least, for anyone listening out there, take 5% of that money, put it away. That is to fix your new couch, get yourself a new TV, upgrade to some new kitchen equipment, all the things that guests want that make a huge difference. Because once that starts wearing down, you know, we have some property owners that don't listen to us. We tell them, you need to reinvest. You need to do this. And they don't. And then they see their scores drop and then they freak out. Then they're like, see, we hate saying it, but we told you.
Yeah. It's much easier to start off right away than, you know, falling behind and then have to pick up. So I love that. And we preach that to the owners, to our owners all the time that, you know, we definitely need a reserve, especially after busy season where, you know, the properties get beat up and there's just so much turn and back and forth that we just had in February and March. So we send out an email and a message to the owners like, hey, this is a great time, you know, for us to go into the property, do deep inspection, see what, you know, needs to be changed, what can be, you know, replaced or improved. And that's why we have that, you know, reserve to be able to do that. So that's a great tip from you. I love that.
Yep. I think that's a good one. But I like that they're focusing on quality. They're focusing on unique experiences. We're trying to get into it. Hopefully our glamping project gets approved. It's been 7 months now of going back and forth with our county to get approved to put up some beautiful safari tents. In a cool place. I want to give ROA our full secret because we'll be the first ones in doing it. But we're working on it. So let's see. Airbnb, keep it up. I like all the new innovations. Keep pushing. If you didn't watch last episode, check out last episode so you can see about all the new icons projects. And I think we have a social media clip up about where we would want to stay. So I think that was pretty cool from our social media team. Good job getting that up there. All right. Community pushback against short-term rentals. We're starting to see it in more and more major cities, right? A couple of months ago, New York City shut down the majority of short-term rentals if you didn't have a license. San Francisco, where Airbnb started, is now really put a limit on homes. And now the neighborhoods that are around San Francisco and in California are going like neighborhood to neighborhood to get people to sign petitions to ban it from neighborhoods because they don't want hotels being run single family neighborhoods, which we understand and get. We try to be great neighbors and do things. How do we protect our neighborhoods and our clients from becoming these party homes?
I love it. Yeah. I mean, it starts right away when you list the property, right? I mean, what you're writing, how you're marketing yourself, what are your house rules, how you're making those clear to those guests, how you're verifying the guests and asking them the questions that you need to know to make sure that the house is being respected. And then it goes beyond that, you know, like you said, what we want to do is we want to be good neighbors. We have a lot of, you know, properties that are allowed to be in these neighborhoods. And we, you know, we want to be known in the neighborhood to ensure that if there is a nuisance, if there is anything, they know who to contact. Because that's a lot of the things that happen, I think, is what when there is a nuisance in a property, they don't know who to contact. First, initially, they're, you know, what are they going to think? They're going to say, hey, let's call the police. Let's call 911. But, you know, 911 can go to the property, can, you know, bring things down, but it could also escalate it, you know. So if you go to your neighbors and you become good neighbors, you know, see them, you tell them good morning, you give them a business card, letting them know, hey, we are the management company. If there's ever an issue, this is the number to contact where it's a number that we have round the clock service that somebody will always pick up. So if they call and contact, you know, we can be the people to initiate that, you know, contact with the guest, so they don't have to involve themselves or anything of that nature. And we can ensure that things, you know, don't get out of hand. So that's one thing. That's like the extreme, you know, and but there's a lot of steps that I just mentioned to not get to that, hopefully. So
yeah, I think you like small, just like tiny things. One camera out front. We caught it the other day, like seeing multiple people streaming in and out of a home, hanging out in the front. Like we knew right away we were able to catch that. Other little things like just maintaining the front yard, take out the garbage on the right days. Don't leave out the garbage cans, you know.
That's a good one.
Right. These are like little things that the neighbors notice and we want to make sure that we take care of and we show, hey, we're in it with you. And we want to make sure we're maintaining the value of the neighborhood because it can get tough. And then when it does get tough, this is what happens. Right.
Yeah.
Start taking action. Hey, no one's listening to me. I'm so angry that I'm going door by door to get this petitions to get rid of these party homes and these homes that are turning into public nuisance. It's got all just by one phone call. Who do I call? Who's going to help me?
Exactly. And it might be a surprise what I'm about to say, but I've actually had conversations with neighbors where they've expressed that they actually prefer, you know, their neighbor being a short-term rental. Because imagine your neighbor is a person that creates a nuisance and it's every weekend and it's every day, you know, playing loud music. You're going to have that person there forever. At least here, you know, most of the times the units, if they are vacant, you know, they are vacant through the work days, you know, Monday through Thursday. And basically the weekends are the ones where a lot of like, you know, our properties are being occupied. But, you know, they know. These neighbors know that that guest is going to leave in 3 days, 3-4 days. They're not going to have to deal with this guest or this person, you know, for that long amount of time. But again, we want to prevent that. But they've expressed to me, you know, hey,
yeah, it makes sense.
Look,
majority of our homes are these single family homes. We do have multifamily buildings across the different cities, but these multifamily homes we maintain better than the neighbors because we have guests coming that are paying. So the front yard is nicer. The flowers are nicer. The backyard is maintained. The pool is taken care of. Like all these things I'm realizing as I'm talking to you, like we focus on and take pictures every day for our team.
Yeah.
We take pictures before and after guests every single time people are coming.
You're 100%. Yeah. And that makes me think of when we're doing our permits, when we're renewing our permits for the properties, I've had conversations where, you know, either myself or the team are there doing the inspections with the city. And the inspector comes in, opens the door, asks us, okay, is this a short-term rental? We say yes. And they've actually verbally told us like, okay, we know that this property is going to be up to par. It's probably going to be better than most properties we inspect because we know that you guys have to, you know, adhere to a certain standard to be able to be rented. So even inspectors, you know going into a short-term rental that their work is going to be much easier. And they know that there's an expectation on their end. So pretty interesting, right? Like the what you see on the news and all this craziness. But if you do things the right way, you know, how you can actually gain the respect of your neighbors and even city officials. So
pretty good. I've seen it how we could have lost control if we didn't have things in place, right? We had to learn the hard way at the very beginning that having party homes at some of these bigger places.
Exactly.
And now we have things in place. We know how loud it gets. We know when camera showing so many people coming. We know when we're getting weird messages inquiring about certain properties.
Exactly.
Right? We have age limits for renting. We do a lot of things that protect our real estate partners and us and our team because you never know what you're walking into.
Exactly.
It's scary. Well, you know, we talked a lot about how to protect and be a good neighbor and those things, but I think the other part, which I think more and more people are interested in finding out about, is combining the best of hotels and vacation rentals and doing these things. I'm really seeing a huge opportunity. I've been staying in more and more hotels. If you haven't seen on my other platform, the Hospitality Mentor, I'm doing 50 hotels in 50 days visits. So it's a challenge. And I see some things that they need to have that vacation rentals do, like with technology that make things way easier that they don't have. And look, I just wish Disney's on point. Right. Like I go to Disney. I don't need to check in at the front desk. I can go to my room door. I can check in. They've got coffee. They've got a sink. They've got a kitchenette and a lot of their premier properties. Not all of them, but a lot of them. They're starting to catch up. They understand. And they're also building vacation rentals in Orlando everywhere that are now part of the hotels and a standalone as well.
Of course.
But what are you seeing? Like, you just went to Orlando. What's something that you see that maybe could be for both?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talk about it often as, you know, the automations and the ease of access to a lot of things. You know, when, you know, specifically when I went into to the trip to Orlando is, you know, immediately I knew I was coming in to do a barbecue with the family and the pool. All the tools and everything was there. You know, the propane was filled. The barbecue was extremely clean. All of the tools, you know, to do a burger or barbecue or whatever it is, were there. So that immediately was like a start to my stay. You know, it's everything was there. I didn't need anything. We're ready to go. That's you know, I always say that the first 4 hours really decide the stay for a guest. So if the first 4 hours, you know, go flawless for a guest, that's usually going to be the, you know, the remainder of the stay, and that guest is going to have a great experience and you're not going to have any issues or any complaints from them. So those are like little things. You know, we had great response time. The Wi-Fi also went down one of the nights, immediately at like 8 p.m. Everybody went crazy. Like, oh my God, what are we going to do? No Wi-Fi. And they're very quick to turn it around and get everything working for us, even if it wasn't probably in their control. So, we were super grateful of that and that response time and how quickly you're able to assist the guest, when something does go wrong. I mean, I remember in hotels that, the best experiences or the best, reviews sometimes that you get, on your properties are the ones that you're able to turn that experience around for the guests. Those are the more memorable ones. So if you're in that position, don't take it as like, oh my God, I can't believe these guests are complaining. Take it into the position like, wow, I have the ability now to change that around for them. What can I do? That this is an opportunity to really wow that guest and go beyond, and, you know, bring them a little wine bottle for the troubles, something that they don't even expect, a little detail and things of that nature.
Yeah, something that we're bringing from hotels in the vacation rentals is, you just mentioned it, like amenities. Right, so the new program that we're starting is like, we have VIPs that are spending above a certain amount that they're getting a bottle of wine, local snacks, sure, and treats and a nice tray, on top of all the stuff that we have already. So I think that's going to be something unique for us. And then we have the second tier, because in hotels, if you don't know, there's like 4 tiers of VIPs. We're doing 2 right now. So if you're just getting a bottle of water, you're the low end VIP. Okay, but if you start getting some of the higher end stuff, you'll see which tier you're in. And Victor used to be in charge of this at his hotel. He was the VIP attaché program leader. So we're bringing some of that into our property. So I like seeing that, because I've missed that in vacation homes. Like, you spend all this money, you get there, and all right, I have coffee and some spices to cook, but no thank you card, a welcome card. Like, I'm here to celebrate my birthday. You don't even care that I'm here. So I think that's going to be something really good for us. That we put in. And the other thing I like about vacation rental, that I think hotels should do, is like the back of house stuff. Like, we use Guesty, and so we've shared that a lot. That's our property management system, compared to what everyone else uses, which is just like old school technology, with Oracle. Is just like, man, this looks like it's from 1990 with a blue screen and you can't get reports. Like, we have everything organized. We can talk to every guest and know when we're talking to them, it's attached to their reservation. We know who's there. We know what they're spending. We know their preferences. We have everything in one spot and can answer them within seconds because we have all that. We don't have to go searching, right? I mean, you work front desk. Is that something you would wish you would have had?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, and then that's why we're we're making such an emphasis on boutique hotels specific, because we know that there's a boutique hotel still running on the, what you just mentioned. I never got to use Oracle, but I remember, and I've seen it before, the screen with all the green writing and all of that. So we know that there's some hotels out there that are still using that, and there is just, you know, there's just so much more now, and so many softwares and so many things out there that really can take things to the next level. And we want to help those hotels and those boutique hotels that maybe just don't know, or maybe, you know, think that system still works for them. So that's what we're hopefully getting into, and taking back from Steve a little bit ago that you mentioned about the whole VIP program and the system. And so a little bit on that. I used to physically go in one by one, go through all of the guest list. We would go and Google each person to see, you know, who they were, what they were. Sometimes they were not even a VIP. but we would recognize that they're a CEO of a, you know, multi-billion dollar company, and right away we would label them, you know, a VIP. So that, you know, something to basically just take it to the next level. And that's something that if you personalize and then you keep record also, that's something else we would do, that they would stay and we would ask them, you know, what their favorite drinks or what we would keep a record of that. So if they stayed again, you know, we didn't have to ask them. They were coming back to the room and they're going to get their favorite drink waiting for them. And that's just like that's something that creates a long, long lasting relationship.
All right. So we're creating VIPs on revenue and birthdays and celebrations.
Correct.
I think we got to maybe look at those. We start with like the top spenders and Google them. I think our team has some time on their hands in the overnight shift to be able to look and see who's who spending that. See, we're doing this live with you guys here. We're brainstorming here live to give you a little behind the scenes. So I think we could add that detail into there.
We're helping people and we're helping ourselves as well as we're brainstorming and getting cool ideas here as well.
I like that. You see, because I came up through the food and beverage world. Victor had that VIP. I got to make the fun amenities, but he got to tell me who to give it to. So that's the fun part. All right. Anyhow, you got a sales meeting to get to, which is most important. And I'm excited that we're adding some more premier properties. And it just shows you competition is getting bigger. And I put a post out on LinkedIn this week that kind of blew up a little bit. And I want to make sure I mention it again here, is that I'm getting concerned with all of you investors out there that are investing here. I love that you're coming to our town of Miami and Miami Beach, because this is like the epicenter of the short-term rental boom. We've got 8,500 new units coming on, plus all the homes that are being sold. Just be careful. Be smart. Before you buy anything, get real numbers from whether it's us or another management company. Get it yourself using Key Data or AirDNA or any of the other programs that are out there, because you're being sold revenues that you are not true. Right? I keep seeing these packages come out of how the range of what you can get. Even the low range is not what it's going to be. So I think a lot of people are going to get burned. Don't buy the studios and one bedrooms if you plan on making that a full-time investment. If you're just here to hang out and you just want to cover a little bit of money and come to Miami and enjoy, and you don't really care about making money with the studio, get the studio, get the one bedroom. But if you're investing, you got to do two bedrooms or bigger. That's my rant. I want you guys to be safe, because I see a lot of people selling to get their commissions and you're never going to see from them ever again.
Absolutely.
Be smart when you're investing in these pre-constructions. And if any developer wants to test us on it, we can talk about it, because we talked to some of you already and you wanted us to come up with fake numbers and give it to people out there. So be safe.
I love it. Yep. I think we get on with that one.
All right. If we get a little heat, I'm happy to take it, because we're helping a lot of people and protecting them. And I think that's just the way to be. And that's how we are in every sales call. We compete against a lot of people. We give the honest truth. It's part of our core values. We are open and transparent.
Be transparent.
Let them know what's going on, not just to our team, but to our clients and potential clients. So go out there today, Victor. Be open, transparent. Show them what we got on that sales call. But anything you want to leave the listeners with today?
Not at all. Just a happy Friday. Hope everyone enjoyed their beautiful Mother's Day weekend. Steve, I love doing these shows every week with you. And I can't wait till we get to 21 and above.
Keep going, and we'll see you next week.